You're listening to WWBC 1510 AM 94.7 FM, the Christian voice of Brevard.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today on this Thursday. Praise God. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Thursday to join me. We're tuning into God's frequency today. God is always broadcasting. We're going to hear some words from him today. Let's pray. Lord God, we exalt you here today. We thank you for another excellent day here. Lord, thank you for another excellent Thursday. We ask for your blessings now as we sit under the authority of your word. Speak to us through your word. Open our eyes, our understanding of these things. You've got a lot to say about end times. Therefore, you want us to know. We listen for your voice. Speak to us through the pages of Scripture here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're in Revelation chapter 6. Prior to getting started, I invite you guys to church this weekend. We would love to see you. I'm in the middle of a series here, a five-week series on Moses, the man of God. And this coming week, we're looking at Moses and the name of God. We'll be in Exodus chapter 3 when Moses said to God, after God told him that he wanted him to go to Pharaoh, he said, "Let my people go." And he says, "All right. When I get there and they ask me what your name is, what should I say to them?" That's our launching point here for this week here. Exodus chapter 3, Moses and the name of God. And naturally, that takes us to Jesus Christ in the New Testament. So with the I am statements of the Son of God in the Gospel of John, that's where we're going to be this Sunday morning. We'd love to see you at 10:30. Island Community Church is at 1000 North Banana River Drive, Merritt Island. We meet Wednesdays at 6. We're in the book of Colossians. We got one more week there. Then we'll be in the book of Acts. I'm sorry, we'll be in the book of Galatians. Acts on Sunday coming up. And Sunday morning at 10:30, we're looking at Moses. And then, indeed, we will be in the book of Acts after that. So, okay, let's pick it up here in Revelation chapter 6. We're going to pick it up in verse 12. Now, here in the book of Revelation, the Lord Jesus, shown here as the Lamb. Remember, when you understand the symbols, you'll understand the book. So the book of Revelation is given in symbolic language, but the symbols are fairly easy to understand. When the symbols appear to be difficult, someone explains to John what it means. For instance, when we get to chapter 13, and when we read about someone that has two horns like a lamb, but speaks like a dragon, we don't have to wonder who that is. Later on in chapter 19, verse 20, the Bible's going to tell you in plain language, this is the false prophet. Remember, Jesus warned us about false prophets. He said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Matthew 7, also Matthew chapter 24, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even you or even the elect." So understand the symbol, you'll understand the book. Now here, we're in chapter 6, verse 12. The Lamb is loosing these seals that are holding this scroll closed. When the scroll gets opened, the angels that have been prepared for this day, week, hour, and year, they've been waiting in, I like to proverbially say, God's green room. They've been waiting on the call. Some angels are underneath the Euphrates River When we get to chapter 9, we'll see when that trumpet sounds will be their calling card, and they will come out. So understand, once the Lord Jesus Christ opens up this scroll, with each seal, something different happens. Now let's look at what happens when he loosens this sixth seal. Revelation chapter 6. Let's pick it up in verse 12. And I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth like a fig tree casting its untimely figs, being shaken by a mighty wind. All right, so stars being any celestial body, large or small, asteroid, meteor shower perhaps. So again, no one understand though, this is the end. We're looking at the end. The key to understanding the book of Revelation is that John sees a vision all the way through to the end. Then he sees another vision. He's not going in chronological order. Obviously, we're in chapter 6. We've come to the end of the world in chapter 6. There's 22 chapters of this book. So he sees a vision all the way through. Then he moves on to a next vision. Unlike the Lord Jesus' description in Matthew 24 is in chronological order. He says, then this will happen. Then this will happen. Then this will happen. Therefore, when you see this, no one understands. So he goes in chronological order there, not here. We're at the end of the world in chapter 6. For that matter, we were at the end of the world in chapter 1 when he said, behold, he's coming with the clouds and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. So he's not going in chronological order. This will help remove some frustration on your part and mine as we study to know he's not going in chronological order from chapter 1 to chapter 22. He sees a vision to the end. Then he moves on to the next vision. Again, I saw when he opened the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth like a fig tree casting its untimely fig. See, now, some stars are a thousand times larger than the earth. So when he says this, this could mean any kind of celestial body, like I said, large or small, asteroid, meteor shower. Remember, John's just going with what he knows. This is his understanding of a man here, explaining and writing down what he saw to us. Now, here now, I want to look at the opening of this seal from ground level. We just saw it from the heavenly level. Let's go now to ground level. And if you guys are able to turn with me, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. John's up in heaven. He's seen these things happen from that perspective. Now let's look at the perspective from the ground. Instead of looking down, this time looking up. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 29. This time it's the Lord Jesus speaking, not the Apostle John. John was writing what he knew or what he saw. This comes from the Son of God. Now, and notice the time, because he tells you exactly when this is. Catch the first couple words. Immediately after the tribulation. So, this Revelation 6 is at the end. This will help understand this book as you study. This Revelation chapter 6 is at the end. So it'll be in chapter 7 when he sees everyone already up in heaven. That's at the end. Then he moves on to another vision. It'll help you understand the book better when you understand he's not going in chronological order. He's seeing a bunch of visions. That's what the book of Revelation is. It's apocalyptic. He's seeing visions. Then he moves on to another vision, and he explains the vision all the way through to the end. Okay, immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Wow, notice all the similarities. Now, look what happens right after this. Look what happens right after this. This is the same thing we just read in Revelation chapter 6, verse 12. I am quite certain that the sun is not going to be darkened and the moon is not going to give its light and the stars or the celestial bodies aren't going to fall to planet Earth more than once. Otherwise, he wouldn't give you these signs to look for. Look at what happens right after this. Verse 30. Matthew 24, 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will wail. Hey, wait a minute. That was chapter 1, verse 7 right there. Remember? He's coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth will mourn or wail. The word kalpo means to beat one's breast in anguish. You're upset. You know what? That's not going to be my response when Jesus returns. How about you? What will be your response? That's my question for you today on this Thursday as you're driving around here today. What's going to be your response if the Lord Jesus Christ comes back while you're still alive? You've got either one of two options. Now, the Lord's showing you and telling you verbatim what's going to be the response for most people out here. It says they are going to wail, beat one's breast in anguish. You see, they're going to realize at this time that they guessed wrong. And I would say they're going to look up. They're going to see the Lord Jesus Christ crack the skies. Then they're going to look down. And they're going to see right there on their right hand, 666. They're going to do what the last government of the world told them to do in order to get along with society. And then they're going to wail. That's why, in my opinion, people are going to wail when Jesus comes back, not rejoice, you see. All the Christians are going to rejoice when he comes back. He's finally going to put an end to all of this evil in the world. My question to you today, friend, is what's going to be your response when Jesus comes back? Are you going to rejoice when he comes back? Or are you going to look down and see that you've done what they've told you to do in order to buy or sell? And are you going to wail? Rejoice or wail? Maybe you say, but I'm going to need to do this in order to, I've got a family, and there's no water, you say. There's no rain, 3.5 years. What's your plan? My plan to you is trust God, follow, trust, and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, wait on him. Remember, he says, everyone who overcomes, I will give them some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of, meaning you trust him. Trust Jesus Christ. And don't take this mark of the beast. Trust in the Lord. Wait on him. Love him more than you love your own life. Remember, those who love their lives will lose it, he says. Those who hate their lives will keep it unto eternal life. Hate your life. Trust the Lord God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Be an overcomer. Be a card-carrying member of Overcomers Anonymous. And he says, all of you who overcome, I will give to you some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. You can't see it. It's nowhere here in plain sight. It's hidden. It's reserved in heaven. For all of you overcomers out here who do what he said, he said, we overcame him. That's the devil. Remember, chapter 12, he's about to get thrown out of heaven. He's madder than a hornet. And the Bible says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That is, The Lord Jesus Christ has obliterated your sins. He's made you right with God. You are now in right standing with God because the blood of the Son of God has made atonement for your sins. So you overcome him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of your testimony. Testimony, just like a courtroom. Down goes the left hand, up goes the right. Left hand on a stack of Bibles, your right hand up. You swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. My testimony is I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and he's Paul Esposito's Lord. And the third way of overcoming, or the third part of this, is you did not love your lives unto the end. That is, I love Jesus more than I love myself. I want to receive eternal life. And if I am forced with making the choice of doing what the last government tells me to do and pledge allegiance to this Antichrist and false prophet, that I am going to choose Jesus. Our momentary light affliction, the Apostle Paul wrote, for our momentary light affliction is working out for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we do not look at the things that are seen. We look at the things which are not seen. Because the things which are seen are temporary, and the things which are not seen are eternal. That's where I'm at. That's where I hope you are here today. I just want you to see why people are going to wail when Jesus comes back and not rejoice. Because, just like he says in Matthew 24, Lord, what will be the sign of your coming? Lord, what will be the signs of the end of the world? Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you. My definition of deceive, many of you might know it, it's to think that something is something while something is actually something else. Take heed that no man deceive you. That is why people are going to wail when Jesus comes back and not rejoice. Matthew 24, verse 30, it says, then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will wail. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet. And he will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, book, chapter, and verse, write it down. That's Matthew chapter 24, verses 29 through 31. And by golly, if that's not the rapture of the church, I don't know what is. There's not two raptures. There's only one. Jesus just told you when it is. It's after Revelation chapter 6 happens. It's after the sun is darkened. It's after this moon does not give light anymore. Perhaps because of an earthquake that we just saw. Like Sahara dust, you know, can do the same thing here today. I don't know. Maybe it's much worse than that. But he tells you when this rapture is. After the tribulation, after the sun is darkened, after the moon does not give its light, and after these celestial bodies fall down here to the earth, then you'll see the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then everyone's going to wail when they see him, realizing they guessed wrong. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of the trumpet, and they will gather together, Greek word episunago. Sunago, where the word synagogue comes from, gathering together. Epi, like epicenter, gathering together to one place. This rapture, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, gathering together. Let me read another scripture here to you, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Let me show you this word in action again, episynago. When the Apostle Paul tells him blow by blow, verse by verse, how and when this is going to happen, though he's still vague about it, but still, the people there thought that they missed the rapture, and he was correcting their misunderstanding. He says, now we ask you, brethren, I'm in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. I want to show you where this word, episynago, gathering together, I want to show you where it's used again regarding eschatology, the doctrine of the last days, of the return of Jesus. We looked at one text, which I want to show you we're not taking out of context. It's at the end of the age. He says so himself. At the end of the tribulation, he will gather together, episunago, gather together his elect from the four winds. Now, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. Now we ask you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered together to him. Subject matter, same thing Jesus is talking about. The timing of when this is going to happen. Jesus just told you it's going to be at the end of the age. Now let's look and see what the Apostle Paul tells us. Now concerning our gathering together to him, episunago, that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit or word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Remember, the day of Christ is this gathering together. It's a good day. It's different than the day of the Lord. There still is a distinction between the day of Christ and the day of the Lord. Woe to you that desire the day of the Lord, Amos wrote in Amos 5:18. It'll be a day of darkness and gloom. The day of Christ, Paul said, I may rejoice in the day of Christ. It's a good day. Verse 3, let no one deceive you by any means, for that day, it's the day of Christ, this day of this gathering together, episunago, that day will not come unless the falling away comes first and the man of sin is revealed or unveiled, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, the Apostle Paul says the same thing. This day of Christ, this good day, is not going to happen until these other things have to happen first. Number one, the falling away from the faith. People have to be set up that when the Lord comes up, the Lord comes down, they're going to look up and see a mark on their right hand and they're going to wail. He's not going to come back until that happens. Until everyone out here is going to be marked with this 666, either on their forehead or on their hand. The day of Christ will not come unless, the first thing there, the falling away, and that's a falling away from the faith. Giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. It's a falling away of Christians, falling away from the faith. Matthew 24:9, right? It's where it says, then it will deliver you over to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations on account of my name. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. New King James and the King James says many will be offended. Greek word scandalon. I'll tell you what, it's the mother of all scandals coming when you're going to have to make a decision with what you're going to do and who you're going to follow. All right, so that's the first thing, that this episunago, this gathering together we just read about, is not going to happen until, number one, the falling away, the mother of all falling aways from the Christian faith. And number two, the man of sin is revealed. Greek word apokalypsis, it means an uncovering or an unveiling. He's probably been here all along, but the Lord hasn't lifted the cover off of him. It's just like a new car at a car show where they got this cover over it. And then all of a sudden, poof, and it's unveiled and you can see it. I think it's the same thing with this Antichrist. He's already lived, I believe. He's a supernatural player because all players in the book of Revelation are supernatural. They're not regular people. They're supernatural. Revelation chapter 11, verse 7, it says the Antichrist is going to come out of the bottomless pit. I think he's already lived. It's a spirit of Antichrist. So the falling away has to come first before this happens. Number two, the man of sin is unveiled. The church must know and see and recognize the Antichrist before this happens. Jesus says this is going to happen after the tribulation. Paul says these two things have to happen first before this day of Christ can happen. Number one, the falling away from the faith by all of the fence sitters out here in the world today. Maybe those who say, you know what? I never signed up for this. I never signed up for trouble. Or you know what? 3.5 years, there's no rain. My family's thirsty. I am going to have to do what the government says so that I can have some water and so that I can have some food. And Jesus says, don't do that, friend. Don't do that. But you follow John 12:25. Those who love their lives will lose it. Trust God. Trust God when you're going through trials. Rely on him. Do not love your lives to the end. That's how you overcome. The blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and you love Jesus more than you love yourself. That's the way to get through this. And to him who overcomes, I will give to them some of the hidden manna to eat, which you know not of. Trust God today. We'll pick it up. We'll be back right here again in Revelation, looking again at this sixth seal and looking at what happens then in our next program. You're listening to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
Welcome to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. John's the author of the best-selling MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. In Luke chapter 5, Jesus healed a leper, but then in verse 15, Jesus gave him this command, "Tell no one." John, doesn't that seem a little strange, commanding a healed man to keep the good news to himself? But Jesus did that, and he did it on more than one occasion. Why was that?
Actually, Denny, he did that frequently. In fact, all through his ministry, you see it particularly up in Galilee in the first year and a half of his ministry, saying to people, don't let anybody know about this. He even told people not to tell about the resurrection of Jairus' daughter. That would be a little hard to hold in. But he informed the family, don't spread this around. Why would he say something like that? And then he repeated it again after healings here and there throughout his ministry. And here's the answer. Because that was not the final message. The message to spread around was not, Jesus will heal your body. Jesus raises the dead. Jesus is here to feed the hungry. Jesus is here to cast out demons. That was not the full message. He said, in a sense, you're on hold until the cross and the resurrection. And after the cross and after the resurrection, what did he say? Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He restrained them because the message wasn't complete. Our message is not deliverance from demons. Our message is not food for the hungry. Our message is not healing for the body. Our message is Christ crucified and risen again.
Thanks, John, and thanks to you for listening to Bible Q&A with John MacArthur. John's the author of the MacArthur New Testament Commentary Series. For more in-depth teaching from Luke's Gospel, go to MacArthurCommentaries.com.
Portions of WMIE's Broadcasting Day are underwritten by Treasure Your Landscape. Treasure Your Landscape is a licensed and insured family business based in Brevard County with many years of experience in the landscaping business. They always work hard to gain your utmost satisfaction. They bring passion and proficiency to every project with a commitment to impeccable service. Treasure Your Landscape. Available at 321-749-1432. They are a comprehensive hub for all outdoor space enhancement needs. Their services include the installation of premium artificial turf, carefully designed putting greens, meticulous landscaping services, and expert paver installation. They can transform your outdoor areas into a space your family will treasure. Treasure your landscape. 321-749-7222.